Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, answer a couple questions from listeners, talk a little bit more about Cody Bellinger, and take a look at the prospects and see how they're doing down in the minors. So that's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. Damn, took it back in time to our old intro. But if this is your first time listening, I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ring Fiends, and I'll be going solo today. And this is Locked On Dodgers. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching Locked On Dodgers. Subscribe in all those places because you won't miss a day because you know we're not going to. We are Dodger fans. Jeff and I are lifelong Dodger fans just like you. But we've also spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and locker room. We're not quite insiders, but we still are able to bring you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So go ahead and subscribe and let's talk some Dodgers. Caveat again, I am dog sitting again, so if you see a dog walking around in the background or if you hear some noise, I'm going to try to edit it out, but if you hear anything, that's just the dog in the background. His name is Bellinger, so we're talking about Cody Bellinger today, so he might see his head pop up when I say that name. But we put out a call for questions, not too many questions around this time, but a couple to answer. One from Jake Shepard at JakeShep1285. He says, do guys like Gavin Lux and Cody Bellinger have more value with the team or as trade pieces? They've both had pretty good starts to the year. I mean, they're both in the starting lineup, and they're both everyday starters for the Dodgers for the most part, so I would say they have more value to the team. I don't think that, you know, you trade Cody Bellinger, and now who's playing center field? Okay, Chris Taylor, but now Chris Taylor can move around and play, you know, left field or different positions. You trade Gavin Lux, And you're just going to leave a hole that the Dodgers don't necessarily have. Like, you know, at this time, guys like Miguel Vargas or Michael Bush could theoretically come up and fill a role. But I don't think that they would be as good as Lux and Bellinger have been so far this season, especially now in the rookie year. And if they are, you know, that's just a big risk to take, especially for a team with World Series aspirations. So in the past, you know, if they hadn't traded AJ Pollock and – you know, we talked about this in the offseason, that Gavin Lux would have had some trade value and could have brought the Dodgers a starting pitcher. But right now, I mean, they're not necessarily looking for a starting pitcher. They're not really looking for relievers. So, you know, Bellinger and Lux are everyday starters. They're both some of the best hitters based on stats so far to start the season. And the Dodgers wouldn't be 9-3 without their contribution so far this season. So when it comes down to Lux and Bellinger, they're definitely better, more value to the team. And even if you did trade them, what exactly are you going to get that, you know, helps the team right now, makes them better right now? I guess if it had to be like a top flight starting pitcher, and Gavin Lux is the cause, and at that point it might have to be like a one-on-one swap. I don't know. You know, the Dodgers wouldn't have to put in multiple prospects plus Gavin Lux or a couple prospects with Gavin Lux in order to get, you know, any kind of top flight pitcher, unless it's somebody like a, you know, Jacob DeGrom pie in the sky type of thing. So, yeah, long story short, Gavin Lux, Cody Bellinger have more value to the team right now because they are both everyday starters and they are both one of the offensive powers in the lineup right now. So that's where we're at there. The other question, a couple questions tied to Trevor Bauer. Obviously not our favorite subject to talk about, but Alex at Alexander H. Black says, the elephant in the room, but a more specific version of the question, why is it taking the MLB longer to determine a code of conduct violation for Bauer than DA did criminal charges? Is it purely from the reports of his unwillingness to cooperate or potentially something more? There was a follow-up to that by Braxton, at Braxton Ander, saying, wouldn't it be appropriate for the MLB domestic violence policy / code of conduct to require Trevor Bauer to fully cooperate with the MLB investigation and answer all questions? And if he doesn't cooperate, what's the punishment? I must have missed the reports that he's been unwilling to cooperate. But if that's the case, then that could obviously delay it. The fact of the matter is, you know, obviously I don't think Bauer's happy about the leave continuing to get extended. But I do believe that, you know, obviously, you know, he's under the players union and they continue to extend the leaves by a couple weeks or a week at a time, whatever it is, recently extended again. And I did see a conspiracy theory that it was extended again to April 29th, which is supposed to be when the NFL draft is, and they MLB kind of want to bury the coverage of Trevor Bauer, bury the whatever. I can't see that, but I guess I wouldn't put it past MLB for something like that, but I can't personally see that being a reason why they pushed it back. And the thing is, like, we don't know. We don't know why. We don't have much clarity. If Bauer is unwilling to cooperate, that's, you know, obviously part of it. But you would think if he is complete in his conviction that he's 100% innocent, that he would be 100% fully willing to cooperate in order to get back to MLB, in order to get back to maybe pitching for the Dodgers or another team, or at least having the chance to pitch for somebody in the major league. So we don't know. And at this point, I don't know if we'll ever really know. And it's a matter of, I think it's got to be coming to a head soon. If not this, by the end of this extension, by at least the end of the next one, just based on, it's been, you know, a long time. It's been since, what, late last June, early July when this came out. You know, that's July, August, September, October, November that they could have been investigating it. During the lockout, I don't know if they could continue investigation. But even without that, there's been plenty of time for them to do their investigations. And maybe it's a matter of they're negotiating the suspension. You know, maybe that could be part of it. Maybe Bauer is going to try to argue time served and doesn't want to. And maybe, you know, let's just say, theoretically, hypothetically, MLB said, we want to suspend you for 80 games. Trevor Bauer said, I didn't do anything. I don't believe I deserve 80 games. And if I do, I want time served, which I believe he's already over that 80 games. And then they're like, okay, well, no. And then, well, Trevor Bauer's like, okay, well, I'm going to sue you. Okay, MLB's like, all right, well, we're just going to keep extending your leave and until we reach some kind of agreement. And I think MLB for sure definitely wants to avoid some kind of lawsuit or something like that. So I can very well see that, the scenario I just laid out, being a scenario of why. Although I do think, you know, Bauer, I feel like he would be out there more if it was something that MLB, like, even if it's not him specifically, there would be more reports out there, his agents or whoever, you know, leaking certain things in order to push the scope back onto MLB rather than Trevor Bauer. So the fact that it keeps getting extended and Bauer's, you know, quote unquote, fine with it, aka just not causing a stir online, means that I think it's coming to a head soon, and or it's a situation between them and Bauer's fully aware of why this keeps getting extended. But we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's what I got for that right now without knowing much else than everybody else knows. But let's talk about Cody Bellinger after we talk about Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there, and they are there for whatever you need. They are there if you're trying to gain weight or put on muscle. They're there if you're trying to lose weight, or they're there if you just want a healthier snack. They're there if you need something to on the go in the morning. Let's say you're on the go in the morning. You're on the go after school. You got practice, or, you know, or you got kids, or whatever the case is. Built Bars are there for you. High protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, low carbs. All the great taste of the candy bar without all the bad stuff. They've also got Built Puffs, which are the first protein-infused marshmallow. Those taste even more like a candy bar. Those taste even better with the same great macros that Built Bars have. And they're all covered in 100%. They're all covered in 100% real chocolate, which if you don't like chocolate, I'm sorry. But if you do like chocolate, Built Bars are there for you. So go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 at Built.com and get 15% off. BlueNile.com. What is BlueNile.com? Well, they're there, a website there to help you celebrate all of life's special moments with some fine jewelry. Everyday fine jewelry. Now, if you are somebody that is, looking to give a gift, jewelry is typically one of those gifts, whether it's for your mom, Mother's Day is coming up, whether it's for your wife, who's also a mom with Mother's Day coming up, whether it's just for your wife, girlfriend, mother-in-law, grandma, whoever it is, everyday fine jewelry, BlueNile.com has you covered. And there's two parts to their business. They got wedding jewelry, if you're looking to get engaged or looking to get some bands, or everyday fine jewelry, which is diamond jewelry, gemstone necklaces, et cetera, cocktail rings, stuff like that. So BlueNile.com, check it out. And guess what? The best part is if you don't know how to shop, you might not know exactly what the woman in your life wants, or even, maybe the man in your life wants. They can help you out. Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So celebrate the special woman in your life or man in your life at BlueNile.com. And right now, this Mother's Day, right now until May 8th, which is Mother's Day, don't forget, this Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Dodgers listeners get $50 off a $500 purchase. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day, May 8th. Use the code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, not only are you going to get $50 off $500, but every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. So shop stress-free and find your love. Find your forever peace for your love. Go to BlueNile.com today. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. You might hear Jeff on there. You might hear me sometimes. Well, there's recaps of MLB games every day with analysis from the local experts, all the Locked On podcast hosts, Locked On MLB hosts, all those guys and girls, taking fans through the season like no other network. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, so we've talked about Cody Bellinger a little bit here the last few days because he's been hitting better, but it's a matter of really kind of turning around. Obviously, it's been a short season, but he's turned it around really quick because remember we talked about a few weeks ago that he was facing the most or up there and facing the most fastballs by any player in the big leagues. And now he's still facing up there, although it's gone down a little bit. But now he's starting to hit those fastballs, which means he might start getting less of them. But also, it's a good thing because you can't sneak a fastball by him anymore. And I think the most significant part is he had two hits against Hunter Green, the Reds flamethrower. One of them on a 99.9 mile an hour pitch. One of them on a 101.3 mile per hour pitch. And in his career before that, I don't know how many times he faced 99 miles an hour or above, but Bellinger only had two hits. Now he picked up those two hits that day. His homer the other day was on a 95 mile an hour fastball. That double the other day against a lefty, Sean Newcomb, was a 94.7 mile an hour fastball. And Cody Bellinger is hitting the fastball, which is a good thing. This is also, just want to give a hat tip, shout out to Thomas Harrigan from MLB.com. He's the one that put an article together talking about Bellinger's fastballs, which got me, wanting to think. So a lot of these stats are from that article, but, obviously pretty easy to find if we really needed to. But shout out to him for putting it together. And you look at last season, and Cody Bellinger he didn't face the most fastballs last year, but he was one of the worst hitters against the fastball last year. He hit just 150 against fastballs in 2021, which is not good. He hit 121 against pitches 94 miles an hour and above and didn't do much damage other than two home runs. He's already matched that this year with two home runs against pitches 94 miles an hour and above, and he's also been able to hit 280. So that's a good part. He was seen around 70% of fastballs early in the year. Now he's around 67.8%. He's still up there. He's still top five, but it's not as prominent as it was before because obviously he's starting to hit them, and now they're starting to have to pitch around him. And while he can't hit the slider or breaking ball down and in, if you hang it or leave it over the plate, he is good at going down and getting pitches and hitting it into right field, or he is good at, sitting back and waiting and punishing those pitches. So not fastballs, hitting off speed, and he's looking like a different player. Now, you know, lately, as you guys may have noticed, I've been looking at Baseball Savant pages more just to kind of see, you know, early in the year, it's hard to tell just based on raw numbers. So if you go to the Baseball Savant pages, you can find out a little bit better numbers that kind of help out, you know, average exit velocity, max exit velocity, hard hit percentage, you know, different things like that. And, you know, I've realized that maybe I've said some of these things in passing and maybe people don't know exactly what they are. So when we're talking about Baseball Savant, and I bring up a stat and I say, you know, he's in the, so what's it called, percentile. That's not, let's just look at Cody Bellinger. So his average exit velocity is in the 53rd percentile. That doesn't mean that, you know, there's no percentage there. It means compared to all the players in the major league, he's the 53rd percentile, which means he's above half the league, but not by much. Now, that doesn't sound that great, but obviously had a slow start, and he can easily build that up. If we would have looked at these, at this page just a week ago, it probably would have looked a lot different, and it would have been, you know, not that great. But you look at hard hit percentage, he's up to 69%, which is, you know, getting higher on the percentile mark, you know, better than 68% of the rest of the league. Barrel percentage, he's at the 68 percentile mark as well. So he's climbing these rankings. He's hitting the ball harder. He's hitting fastballs now. And that's why it feels like it's not just, you know, it doesn't feel like it's some kind of mirage or some kind of luck. Now, obviously, now that he's hitting fastballs, he might face different types of pitches. He might get more breaking balls. He might get more off-speed pitches. He might, you know, get more stuff down and in like we mentioned earlier. So he's going to have to make adjustments, but now he's forcing pitchers to make adjustments against him. And then when you're in a battle of making adjustments, that's when you're more having, you know, regular success, because pitchers are going to make adjustments. You make adjustments. You start hitting those adjustments, pitchers are going to have to make adjustments. Whereas before, early in the season, there was no adjustments. Guys are just throwing on fastballs. I mean, if you're a player of MVP caliber getting almost 70% fastballs thrown his way, it's pretty uncommon, I would imagine, because usually if you're that good a hitter, a major, you know, MVP caliber player, you can hit the fastball. And for Bellinger to be getting, you know, 70% of fastballs early on meant that there was not a lot of respect there, because they feel like they could just blow by him, especially if it was well-placed. You know, I still think he gets beat by a well-placed fastball up and in, but he's not getting beat by every single fastball like he was before. So, shout out to Cody Bellinger. It's been less than a month, but turning, you know, the early season struggles into success. And I look forward to seeing if he continues to hit what he needs to hit, make those adjustments, and adjust to how pitchers are probably going to treat him different now. So, shout out to you, Cody Bellinger, for doing your thing. And now we're going to move on to prospects. We're going to talk and see what the prospects are doing, what the main guys that you guys may have heard of or may know are doing down in the minors. But first, let's talk about BetOnline, because BetOnline.net is your number one spot for all your sports betting info and news and podcasts. And everything you need is at BetOnline.net. for all the latest sports developments, and especially right now with the basketball playoffs going on, you got MLB season starting up, you got, you know, there's always some like UFC or boxing going on, there's always a bunch of stuff going on, and betonline.net can help you out. Not only do they have everything there on there for you, they got live scores, live betting, esports, podcasts. You can find a lot of Locked On podcasts if you're looking for different teams on betonline.net. It's got everything you need. So head over to betonline.net on your laptop, mobile device. Check it out. See what they got. Learn more about the trends. Learn more about the action. Get smarter about sports. Get smarter about betting. And go make some money. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, we are back. And let's close out by just taking a look down on the farm. It's been around the same time as MLB season. They started around the same time. So they're, you know, everybody's around a dozen games into the season. And we'll start in AA with the Tulsa Drillers, who are one of the more stacked rosters in terms of prospects, not only in the Dodgers, but in the entire major leagues. And we look at guys that are doing well. And you look at the main guys we're kind of interested in, which is Michael Busch, Andy Páez, James Outman, Cody Hosey, and Jacob Amaya. Those are kind of the main guys there. You also got Jaron Kendall, Devin Mann, who are names that people know. But you look at Michael Bush, and he is off to a hot start. 5 home runs, 13 RBIs, OPS over 1,000, hitting .333 in 12 games. He's played in every game so far, and he's on absolute fire. Also, a couple doubles in there. You got James Outman, who's not quite hitting as well average-wise, but OPSing 777, which is not too bad. He's got 3 home runs, 5 RBIs, striking out a little bit high rate, but you know, if he can get those strikeouts down, he's going to be very beneficial. But just real quick, going back to Michael Bush, biggest stat that stands out to me, and obviously OPS over 1,000 is big. 5 home runs in 12 games is big. 13 RBIs in 12 games is big. 11 walks and 12 strikeouts. So he is walking at a very high rate. His OBP is .473. So almost half the time Michael Bush has come to the plate, he's been on base so far this season, which is great. You look at Andy Páez, hasn't hit the home run yet, but does have 9 RBIs, 5 doubles, racking up the doubles down there, hitting .310 with an .882 OPS. So, you know, with Bush and Páez, the main two there, they're looking real good. Unfortunately, Cody Hosey still hasn't figured it out, hadn't figured it out last year. He's has an OPS of just .457, not ideal, but hey, you know what? It's early in the season. He could turn it around. They got Jacob Amaya, who is on the 40-man roster. He's got a home run. He's OPSing .757. Does have 6 walks and 6 runs scored in 9 games. So he's able to figure it out. Unfortunately, Jaron Kendall also still hasn't figured out how to hit. He's hitting .192 down there. So, you know, not the most ideal situation. But the main guys that we talked about are the main guys that, you know, Michael Bush and Andy Páez. Michael Bush definitely will be able to make a mark this season if they need him to. And Andy Páez could theoretically see that, but probably more next year. You go to the starting pitching and you look at the names, and you got Bobby Miller, Michael Grove, Clayton Beter, Gus Varland. Those are the names that stand out there. And let's start with Bobby Miller, everyone's favorite guy, Bobby Miller. He's made 2 starts, only gone 4.2 innings total, but he does have a whip of .86, an ERA of 1.93. Has allowed 3 hits in those 4 2/3 innings with 7 strikeouts. So he's still racking up the strikeouts, still holding opponents to a low average. Hopefully he gets stretched out a little more. And, you know, he's a guy that we've mentioned before we could see later on this year. You go to Clayton Beter. He started 2 games, gone 5 2/3, and given up 3 runs in those 5 2/3. But he's racked up 13 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings with a whip of .88. So while he's giving up a few runs, he's striking out guys at a crazy clip. He's only got 3 walks. He's looking like a guy that also could help out this year if need be. So when you see those names being real good, that's a good sign. Like I said, if you were to look at Tulsa and you look at Bobby Miller, Clayton Beter, Michael Bush, Andy Páez, they're all doing well. That's a good sign. You look at Michael Grove, he's doing pretty well. He's made 2 starts, 5 2/3 innings, giving up just 1 run in those 5 2/3 with 7 strikeouts. Has a whip of .53. He hasn't walked anybody at all, which is something he's had issues with in the past. So it's good to see that he is not walking people. And Gus Varland struggled a lot. He's made 3 starts. He's pitched 10 innings, but he's given up 10 runs, 9 earned in those 10 innings. Only struck out 7 and walked 8. So not quite there, not quite up there. But the guys that matter, at least realistically, for potential this season or next season, are doing all right so far. Now let's go to AAA, where a lot of names that we know, but not necessarily a lot of names that are expected to contribute this year. There's guys that are, you know, AAA is where they're going to get guys when they need, if somebody gets injured. You know, we already saw Zach McKenzie come up. Zach McKenzie was hitting .404 with an OPS over 1,000 down there. Crazy stat, he has 3 doubles, 4 triples in a home run. 4 triples in 12 games. Pretty unheard of. And it's not like he's the fastest guy known to man, so he must be hitting him in the right spots out there. But we go to Miguel Vargas, who was one of the stars of the spring, one of the names that a lot of people learned about in the spring. And he's been off to a good start. OPSing .832 over there. 12 strikeouts, 10 walks. So he's walking at a high clip. OBP of .368. He's hit a pair of home runs and added 3 doubles. So, you know, good start for him over there. And then you go to, you know, Jake Lamb, Kevin Pillar. Those are the 2 guys we remember also that, you know, we could see helping out the Dodgers this year, not necessarily the future, but this year specifically. Jake Lamb got off to a hot start, hitting a bunch of home runs in that first week, and has kind of cooled off since then. He's only OPSing 724. He does have those three home runs, but he struck out 17 times in 49 at-bats, 17 times in 12 games. Going to have to cut that down if he wants to help out the Dodgers this year. Kevin Pillar, on the other hand, hitting 349, on-base percentage of 474, OPS over 1,000. He's walked 10 times, struck out only 3 times, 12 RBI, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 2 triples. He's raking down there, and he's a guy that could find his way to the roster at some point if there's an injury. I don't think he's a guy that's going to make the roster just because. I think it's going to have to be injury-based if somebody gets hurt for an extended time and he comes up. But Kevin Pillar looks ready to go down there. And then you got guys like Eddie Alvarez, Ryan Nota, Andy Burns, Omar Estevez, guys we've heard of, you know, all doing relatively well in their respective cases. Eddie Alvarez hitting 360 with an OPS over 1,000, 3 home runs. Ryan Nota got an OPS over 1,000 with 4 home runs. You got Omar Estevez not hitting well, just hitting 0.071. But, you know, for the most part, guys down there are doing pretty well. Now let's go over to the pitching, which there's guys that for sure will help out the Dodgers this season. Let's go to Andre Jackson. Andre Jackson's pitched in 3 games, has a .84 ERA, 10.2 innings pitched, just allowed 1 run, which was a solo home run. Only 7 strikeouts in those 10 innings, and has walked 9 guys in those 10 innings, which is not ideal. He needs to cut that walk rate down. Obviously, he's walking guys and not allowing them to score, which is good, but would love to see that walk rate go down in order for him to come up later this year and contribute to the team. Then you got Ryan Pepiot, who's also made 3 starts, also 10 and 2/3 innings. He's given up just 2 runs in those 10 and 2/3, but he has 14 strikeouts, which and just 4 walks. So he's definitely striking out guys at a much higher clip than Andre Jackson, walking guys at a much lower clip than Andre Jackson, and looking every much like the guy that the Dodgers expected. After struggling last year in AAA, he's off to a good start so far this year. We got guys, John Duplantier, Reyes Moronta, Yeffrey Ramirez, who we're probably going to see in the majors at some point this year just because, you know, there's always injuries happening to the bullpen, but they're all doing relatively well. All got ERAs under 3. You go down to Carson Fulmer, a guy that we kind of watched in the spring. He's got an ERA of 3.52. He's allowed 3 earned runs in 7 and 2/3, but he has struck out 10 guys in 7 and 2/3. But unfortunately, he's walked 7 guys, so he hasn't quite found the strike zone yet. But he's been able to strike guys out, which is a good sign. You go down the line, not too much else. Shane Green struggling, so I don't know if we'll see him this year. And then you got Darian Nunez from last year also struggling, so he'll have to figure things out. Darian Nunez is already on the 40-man roster, which is, I guess, the one thing that helps him if the Dodgers do need a reliever. All right, we are running a little long, so let's not too much. Those are the main two teams. You go down to the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, the closest team to the Dodgers. And the main one there is Diego Cartaya. Diego Cartaya is actually struggling a little bit. He's struck out 18 times in 35 at-bats. So more than half his at-bats have ended in a strikeout. He does have 2 home runs and a double. But unfortunately, that's not. He's only OPSing 611. So a little bit of a struggle there for Cartaya after dominating in this same league last year. So, you know, looking for him to get things going. The other name of note, Jose Ramos, who we remember from the spring, he's doing really well, has 3 home runs and 8 RBIs in 9 games with a 968 OPS. And then you got Jake Vogel, one of the picks from the 2020 draft, struggling again to make contact, OPSing only 513 with 16 strikeouts in 11 games. Not ideal there, but you know what? He has time to turn it around. And hopefully Diego Cartaya can turn it around. You go to the pitching side, and there's not too much pitching-wise in terms of names you guys may know. Kendall Williams is the one, mainly because of his long blonde hair that you might recognize. Struggled a little bit this year. 3 games started, 12 innings pitched, giving up 6 earned runs in those 12 innings. Does have 14 strikeouts in those 12 innings, though, but also 5 walks and 8 hits allowed. So still some stuff to work on, although, you know, it is a lower division, and it is one that's usually very offense-heavy. The other one that is down there that is of note is first-round pick from last season, Maddox Bruns. He's made 2 starts, gone just a combined 3.2 innings in those 2 starts, but has looked pretty good. Has struck out 8 guys in those 3.2 innings. So of the 11 batters or 11 outs he's recorded, 8 of them have been via the strikeout. So that's not too bad. Let's jump over to the Loons real quick, the Great Lakes Loons. This is where there's not as many guys that you may know, but there's two guys that are actually on the 40-man roster because the Dodgers didn't want them to be lost in the potential Rule 5 draft that didn't end up happening. And the Loons in general are not hitting well. Their best hitter is somebody that has just 22 at-bats. He's hitting .273. Everybody else is below that. And then you look at Jorbe Vivas, Elias Leonard, the two guys that are on the Dodgers 40-man roster, OPSing 502, 576, respectively. No home runs, a few doubles, but not hitting well at all. Jorbe Vivas not striking out that much, and Elias Leonard not striking out as much, but still 13 strikeouts in 11 games. So, yeah, not too much over there in Great Lakes. I don't know what their record is, but I would imagine it's not that good if that's how their offense is performing. But, you know, maybe their pitching is doing well. You go pitching-wise, there's not really any huge names out there. You have Hendo Choi, who was the Dodgers minor league pitcher of the year last year. He's given up 3 runs in 3 innings so far, so not that great. You have Cole Percival, son of former Angels closer Troy Percival. He's done pretty well so far. He's appeared in 3 games, pitched 10 innings, and has an ERA of 2.70, although he's not striking out at a high clip and has walked 5 guys. But, you know, he's figuring it out. So that's the look at the minors. Hopefully, you know, we'll do this again in probably another month, check out how the guys are doing if we don't see any of them come up in the time being. And that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you need to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, please do so at 323-863-5625 or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Touch my device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.